Okay, and if you have an issue with being recorded, you can silent or leave. So, welcome to the use case realization call for May 29th, 2019. Today we're going to be focusing on discussing the modeling and use case and architecture way of working. I have been working with a number of people to basically come up with a little bit more formalized way of working between the modeling subcommittee, the use case teams, and platform teams with with the architecture team. So it started because of a discussion in the modeling subcommittee. They were trying to raise a model or develop a model for licensing management, and some people objected to that before there was a use case. And it kind of became apparent that even though there is a sort of a rough plan of how the teams should be not necessarily working together, but a sort of a timeline of things that should happen in the release planning page here. And it does kind of go into some detail, not necessarily how teams work together, but sort of what happens at these milestones, right? and you can sort of infer what modeling should be doing, but not necessarily. It doesn't say anything about, you know, this team should be contacting that, or, you know, this team should be working with that. So I think the idea is to come up with a more formalized process where teams should be contacting each other. And it started with modeling teams. So I've been presenting on Monday and Tuesday calls on the modeling team, this flow of what should happen in modeling. So I'll start there. So in the modeling process, we start with a high-level model requirements, and we they discuss what's in a model, and actually, I think they more prefer these terms. So let me just use those instead. Okay, so basically, in this discussion phase, where a high-level model is proposed, there's high-level model requirements are put in place where planning occurs. And the next thing that happens is they work on the model plan, and they create what's called an input model, an M1 as a point in time happens, and then a preliminary model is developed and discussed. This discussion model is a model where basically you have some things are marked, go from sort of experimental to preliminary for the most part. There can be a mixture of the two, of course, and that's what makes sort of labeling it a little bit more complex. And then the model is approved, and when the model is approved, they call it a clean model. So the data model is essentially frozen, and it can still be refined after that, but the idea is that you freeze it and you try not to make changes if you can. But in reality, as the development teams are doing stuff, of course, things can happen and updates can occur. So in these various stages, the idea is that the modeling team is basically engaging the use case teams and the project teams, the platform project teams, as well as architecture at certain points in order to interact so that the models that they're developing apply and make sense and are usable, but come the API freeze. Okay, any questions on that? All right. So in the modeling process, there are information models and data models and an API that is developed for use by the software. And I just presented this yesterday at the modeling subcommittee. So there was some discussion about the econ models. But so the information model basically is what the modeling subcommittee team is doing. So they take these requirements that they expect to be driven from either things they know about or adapting from eComp or use cases, and there's some model planning that's done. They introduce an information model, and that's called an input model, and then as they refine that information model, it becomes a discussion model, and they as they head into M2, this model is approved by the modeling subcommittee, and then they have a what's called a clean model, and it's frozen. So, but updates can actually happen from the build teams and project teams. So tweaks on the information model can happen. Again, that's not ideal. Ideally, everything is frozen. It doesn't change after that. But of course, you know, we all know that that's the world isn't perfect, right? So things can happen. a data model then is developed by the use case teams or the project teams, and they basically base and create a data model based on the information model as it's being developed. so there's an input data model as a initial sort of draft of a model to start with. That model is refined and it becomes a discussion data model. And then it's approved by the project teams, hopefully collaborating with the modeling teams for a clean data model. And that feeds into an API that's used and defined and developed for the use case and by the platform component software modules. Okay. So that's the basic flow modeling from the modeling team. Let me just stop there for a second. Any questions or thoughts on that? I'm gonna just update the who's here list here. So I'll give you a second to digest while I update the who's here. Okay, I see Jimmy's here. And okay.
Sorry, on the terminology, I'm just slightly intrigued. So info model, as in you meant the information model or info model is?
Information model, yeah.
Yeah, so information model is primarily about the APIs and the integration between two systems, right? So you're not talking about you're talking about data model here, or are you talking about information model?
So the information model is more like, not necessarily the, let me see if I can bring one up for you, and that might be a picture's worth a thousand words. Let me see if. So the information model really models things like objects and the object relationships between, you know, each other. And if you've seen what they do, let me see. Oof. I might not be able to quickly find one on the fly here. Let me see.
No, that's all right. Am I just checking the
terminology? I should. Let me see. I should probably learn to navigate some of these a little bit better. But let me see if there's a picture of one here. Nope. Okay. So. But anyway, there's basically like a sort of a hierarchy of things, and maybe I can.
Yeah, so class models and.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's more like a class model than a. Let me see. We can just find a quick example of something here. So and it's kind of like this, right? That's a this is kind of an information model actually. So
yeah.
Basically you have like a service, and a service has has a relationship, right? It has a virtual link and network function, it's an association. And you know, connection points are associated with network functions. So this is like a information model. A data model would then go drill deeper and give more details about each of these classes, basically. So here's an example of the LoRa resource from the actual modeling team, which describes an ANR, a LoRa resource. And you can see that there's a descriptor and then resources, descriptors, and how they're related to, you know, network function descriptors has a ANF descriptor, VNF descriptor, and a PNF descriptor. So that's what we mean by an information model. And a data model, of course, is specific to a particular function or platform or use case, but it generally goes into more detail about the, you know, in the particular class. So did that answer your question, or maybe somebody else, yeah. Someone else want to jump in and add to what I said, Jimmy or Zoo or Oscar? Does that make sense? Okay, yeah, good question. So I think, you know, data models basically are defining some of the more details about the objects, maybe their methods and parameter details. I think that will be used in a particular use case. And the models, like right now, the models that the modeling team has been working on the past couple of weeks is called the business interaction model. Information model, where it describes, like, you know, two parties that interact with each other, and that's how the whole discussion model licensing came up, because that's something that two parties have between them. And then eventually I would expect a use case, say a licensing, you know, licensing management use case to be proposed, that would basically take that information model and then turn it into a data model. And then for licensing management, I would expect that, and I'm just using that as an example, it's not a use case yet, but I would expect that basically there would be some kind of API between ONAP and an external license manager, and that data model would serve as the foundation of that SASD, structured analysis, structured design, for you know, to define how that interface and the API will work. Does that make sense?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, great. All right, so next I also went to the architecture team and presented this slides, and Stephen Terrell, the PTL of the architecture team, gave me some really good feedback on sort of their flow of architecture, which is a lot more detailed than these three dots here, right? So I kind of drew a slide for the architecture tracks. they develop a functional architecture, which is basically that overall diagram of ONAP. If you've seen it, kind of the high level 10,000 foot view of ONAP, and that defines all of the major components in ONAP and all of the interactions at a high level of ONAP. And again, I don't know if I have a picture of that. I can find that on the fly, actually. The GDF, at the Casablanca one, I think there was one. Let me see. Oops. Architecture. Architecture. Maybe this one. Let's see. Yeah. Okay. This is the, it's an outdated one, but this is the view. Right now in the past month, the architecture team has been actually refining this picture, and it looks kind of like this, but it's evolving. So, but this is the diagram that I'm referring to. So basically they're revamping and revising this diagram. And the idea is, I think they kind of revise this diagram with every release. I'll just put it here so you can kind of, again, it's an older one, but you kind of get a view of kind of what I mean. So this is what's called the reference architecture. I think I call it a reference architecture, a functional architecture, which is a reference architecture. So this functional architecture, I think at this point it doesn't change too much, but they're both mostly reshading some boxes and structuring it. Just the, I mean, all the functions I think are the same. You know, I think DCA moved down, and there's some discussion about the common services and so forth. But that's what they mean by this functional architecture. So this functional architecture, it is drafted, it's refined and approved within the architecture subcommittee, goes up to the TSC for approval as well. And that serves as a overall architecture for the entire release. and then there's a functional, then there's a component architecture, which is developed by the use case teams, which basically describe, which go into more details of each of these boxes, right? So if you look within each of these projects, you know, there's lots of architecture diagrams, and that's kind of what's meant by this component architecture. So each of these components also has, you know, a lot more detail. Again, this is a 10,000 foot, very high level view of all of these components working together. And so the PTLs take a look at to what's needed in the release from use case proposals and see what's going to be developed, and see if there's updates that need to be made to those component architecture, and then they can bring it up to the architecture team for a review. And then there's a milestone review where this is expected to be reviewed as a group. And there was some also. Andy Mayer from AT&T, in discussing with Steven, said, you know, that this is a point where there could be a joint architecture and modeling review to look at the APIs that are expected to be used, and how that component architecture plays into that. And then architecture enhancements can also happen as well. And I should probably increase this box here, I suppose. So basically, these architecture enhancements are individual enhancements that can happen. Stephen gave me a couple examples, something like modularity enhancements and things. But essentially, they're treated like use cases. So, you know, there's a definition of these enhancements. It goes through design and requirements, and stories and JIRAs are defined, and then they're integrated into the architecture, purportedly into the functional architecture and the component architecture, and then there's actually testing of them. Okay. Any questions on this? All right, and then here, where everybody here is probably most interested in, is the use case process, right? So this is the process I'm most familiar with, and I haven't refined it too much since I started working on these slides, but in the timeline flow, you see where we propose use cases. There's a kickoff, and the release is kicked off, and proposals are considered and then eventually approved. The use cases are defined, and we hit M1 planning. So we see in M1 planning that the planning process is complete, and the project planning is complete, and the proposed projects are approved. So we are in by M1 we're defining the what the use cases are, and then we go into design. We design the use cases, and then software development happens. API freeze and code freeze occurs, and then we go into test and integration. So the things, the what that's developed is the use case proposals, and a base wiki page for the use case. epics and stories and high-level requirements, business drivers are defined. APIs and software design is developed, and the platform software during design. And then the actual use case software, the VNF requirements, read the docs are updated, data model and API model freeze occurs. Oops. Data model. Yeah, the frozen or the baselined data model is defined, and the APIs are defined. And then test and integration plans are developed. And so the use case team basically is doing the proposals. Well, they're involved all throughout, right? But they at the point where we're defining the use case is a point where we should probably be engaging the modeling subcommittee to get a sense of what models are being developed and what models need to be used. So for the platform controller NF Association, for example, there was a model update that I needed, and I went to the modeling subcommittee. This is also the point where use case. I can give you another example in R6, for example, where in ANEI we're looking to do a schema change from PNF name to PNF ID. That it should also, be presented, for example, the modeling committee for raising awareness there. And then once it gets into design, we engage the architecture teams to see what component and architecture updates that might need to be made. And then, of course, all throughout, we're the use case teams. I consider the platform project teams are kind of part of the use case teams, where they need to work obviously hand in hand all throughout the process. Okay. Does that make sense? Is that any questions?
What's S/C?
Oh, subcommittee. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Do you mind sharing this link?
Yeah, I'm going to upload these slides to today's wiki, to today's page.
Cool. Okay. Thanks.
So Ben, anybody will be able to download these. They're also already in the modeling subcommittee contributions page. I can also point a link to there. Because that's kind of where I started this whole thing. Let me see. I just find that for people here. I should probably also upload the latest thing there as well. So I'll just put that in this thing here. So you see in the end here, these are where these slides are currently, but I'll put them here as well. And so eventually this will get turned into a wiki. And of course, here's the model AI. Again, week to week, I'm presenting at the modeling subcommittee, and this is where they have their current process. It's a pretty sparse page. You know, right now it's just a pretty basic page of the process, and I volunteered to put more detail in here. But before I do that, of course, we need to agree on kind of, you know, the visuals. So yeah, you can find the links to that in today's minutes that I'm updating in the wiki page. All right.
Thanks, Ben.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. So, okay. So we're in the use cases. hopefully most people have worked through, you know, on the call, I've worked through some use cases and have some familiarity with this basic flow of what's here. I think this kind of complements what's here. The focus on the release page is a lot more on the specific deliverables. And if we look at that page really quick again, so it talks about platform functional requirements, and you know, there are templates that have to be filled out, attention to participate, and each project. So it has a view, sort of a view of what needs to be done and developed. And but this particular page has all of the releases from Casablanca or 1.2.3.4. And it has been used to kind of guide people with what, as if you've been on my calls, I also use this as well to see what things we need to deliver as we hit each of these milestones. Okay. I also looked at for the release D, F, and G, Frankfurt, El Alto, I guess you should put El Alto in here. But mostly the actual new project releases. If we look at our four, Dublin, there's this waterfall process where we define the scope and design and propose the use cases. We actually develop them and then integrate and test and debug. That same sort of flow is there in Frankfurt, R6. we have a slightly longer M0 to M1. It goes from mid June to September. So that's a 10-week process instead of the usual 8-week process. And then about the same for M1 to M2, a 4-week process. And then as we go from M2 to M4 is normally a 7-week, and this is a slightly shortened 6-week process. But the basic thing is there's still scope definition, design development, and testing and integration. This is the same waterfall flow.
So, you know, I think you're bringing up a good point. I mean, we're trying internally to go toward a non-waterfall, you know, more agile type approaches. Is that really not doable in these types of initiatives because it's so multi-vendor, and do you know?
So that's a really, really good question. And I think they're trying to go to a more of a agile method. There's been lots of talk of it in the community. And if you look at the El Alto release, there's like three major sprints, I think. And in Guilin, the next release, R7, I think they're trying to move to, and I'm not sure what these circles are, but I think they're trying to move to more of a agile flow. And actually, comments have been made to my slides also, you know, because my slides are very waterfall oriented, right? that same sort of same comment was made. Hey, what happens to this process when we go to, or if we go to a agile method, and where we have, you know, sprints? So I think in my mind, a lot of these tasks might happen concurrently, and there might be sprints that are defined. And I think the team is open to trying to create a view of what that would look like. So I think first we're going to define it just so we have a understanding of what the basic flow would be. And then from there, I think we can maybe document something that's more agile. And there, I think in the main thing in a sprint, right, is you want to define something that has minimum market value. MVV, what are that? Minimum market value. So MMV. So this, you know, basically at the end of a sprint, you want to deliver something is the idea. And then you can define sprints and work in chunks rather than having to deliver all of something and throw it over the wall. So how to capture that, I think, is first, there's not enough, you know, as you see in this page, there's just, I think more needs to be done just in the actual releases yet and just what they're doing. And once you understand that, I think you can start thinking about a different way of working. So this is just the start of how should we work and how should the teams interact. So there is already, you know, a lot written on how we should work, basically. How, you know, but the problem is, you know, each team kind of goes off and does their own thing. And because it's an open source project, things aren't necessarily very well coordinated. And that's the whole point of this set of slides, is to try to get teams to figure out when they should interact. So, you know, you can't expect, you know, the architecture teams to, you know, say Steven to attend every single use case meeting or every single modeling meeting. You know, that's just not gonna happen, right? There needs to be points in time where either one team goes to architecture, or you can call Steven into a particular, you know, special meeting where the modeling is at a point where they want to interact with architecture. And I think that would be more kind of meaningful. And that's what these slides are starting to open up, that conversation of when do we need different teams to, you know, to go off and interact with certain other teams. So this call itself is meant to get various use case teams talking amongst each other. So the sharing when the use cases need to discuss things, or when use cases may impact other use cases. And similar sorts of things probably need to happen essentially between the modeling team, the use case teams, and the architecture teams. And that's, you know, I've been going to all these teams to kind of raise awareness of that this needs to happen. They all agree. And again, it started in the modeling team, the architecture team agrees. And this week I'll be going to the use case team. So this is the first of a series of meetings that I'm presenting these on, describing, you know, how our teams need to kind of work together. And if you've worked on these teams, the thing is, you know, each team kind of is their own encapsulated group of people trying to develop a set of functionality. And they all call meetings with PTLs, and they you know, and they each individually go to modeling subcommittee and things. And so it can be very unorganized, and you know, each team kind of doing their own thing and pulling on PTLs, you know, time and limited resources. So that's why, for example, Andy Mayer and Stephen Terrell, the PTL of architecture, had said, hey, you know, there might be a point in time where we could have a joint architecture and modeling review at a particular point in time. You know, maybe the API can be reviewed together. And even as Stephen was talking about this out loud, he was kind of, it was clear he hadn't thought about some of these gates yet and what should happen at these gates. So he was kind of designing this, or helping me design this on the fly, which is good, right? So it points to that, you know, that a more structured process needs to be in place. Okay, and that's probably one of the biggest challenges in an open source environment, trying to get, you know, there's like about 1,500 people-ish, you know, with Linux Foundation accounts and registered in ONAP, and getting them all coordinated is quite a challenge. Okay. So I came up with a slide at first, and this is a slightly older slide. This is a older slide. So basically this slide was looking at how these different teams should interact and what things are delivered when, and then or this is kind of an earlier on slide, and they said, hey, what about architecture? And so I updated this with a tracks of the major milestones with the what happens in proposals. M1 is reached, we plan, and M1 is reached at a point in time, functionality is defined, M2 at a point in time is reached, APIs are developed and software is developed, and M3, M4 is reached, and then finally RC0, I guess I should put RC0 in here, huh? Is reached, grouped everything. And then integration happens, and RC0, I guess I should say integration happens, and then RC0 happens. RC0 and RC1, RC2, right. And so this slide is kind of meant to try to tie everything together. I think it still maybe needs a little bit of cleaning up, but basically in the use cases, we propose use cases, we define them, we design them, we deliver them, we develop them, and we test and integrate them. In the models, there's a model planning that happens, an input model, a discussion model, and a clean approved model for use by API as input to the development teams and into the API. In the architecture teams, a functional and component architecture are defined, developed, refined, and approved. And then a API docs freeze happens. And I guess I should also say, you know, enhancements can continue to occur as well. So tying all of these together and trying to find where in these timelines things happen and where they overlap is kind of what this picture is trying to show. And then I've started working with the modeling team to describe kind of what happens in some of these stages where there's model planning, an input model, discussion model, clean model, and a updates from the build teams. And I've also tried to incorporate stuff here, right? So basically there's high level info model requirements are added. And, you know, we can say that use case teams are engaged for basically evaluating the use case proposals. and then as a base model for that release is developed, an input model, an input data model is developed, and then discussion data model. All right, and by here we have an info model plan established, info model updates begin, and Andy's on the call. we had discussed basically some of the points that happen in these stages, and then a clean model is reached. So early on in this model definition stage, I think a info model plan is established. Yep, info model updates begin, model refinements begin. And then as we refine the model, I think the use case and project teams are engaged and I think the start of a data model, data model input and data model development with input from the modeling subcommittee. And probably some review I would expect to happen at one of these stages, right? So reviews of the data model with the project teams so that they can use that as input into their data model. And then the model launch occurs where a data model is the clean is reviewed basically and approved for launch. And then updates can happen. And then finally, maybe this should go here. and then at some point we essentially freeze the model and so it becomes clean. And then you continue to work with the project teams and architecture to develop a data model for approval. And of course that would imply that the modeling subcommittee is involved with reviews and approvals of the data models that are using their information models. And then a joint, it was discussed in yesterday's modeling subcommittee that Andy, I think Andy mentioned when we both attended the architecture subcommittee that, you know, maybe a joint architecture subcommittee and modeling subcommittee API review can happen. And then again, at a point in time, we've reached API model freeze. So the data model is frozen and finalized. Post M3 model updates can happen, but the idea is that we try to freeze those and then that serves as an input into the API model, data model freeze. So let me actually put in the timelines here. Here, and I will see if there are, so let me just be real quick. All right. Okay. Any comments on that? All right. I see a couple of the people join. Let me just update the.
Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
This is Shankar.
Hey, Shankar. Hey, how are you?
Hi. Yeah. No comments on that, but I did. And like I said, I usually join this towards the end of your call.
Yeah.
So I did have one question about, I looked at the notes from the meeting notes, and there is a mention of that for Frankfurt, for use cases, that they should fill like a business drivers.
Yes. Right.
Yes.
So there's I was on the Ala's call and jump to that real quick. So I was on Ala's call and I had volunteered to basically create this template for her. So you can go to this page. I'll put it in the chat here. So it was kind of reviewed and discussed, so put it here. Okay.
So we should do this for.
Yes.
Frankfurt.
Right.
Is this for new use cases or also for the
both? Yeah.
Existing
both. Yeah. Yeah. so basically, but one second. So just any other final thoughts on these slides?
Let me ask too, and it's kind of an add-on to what Shankar was asking.
Sure.
The minimum value thing that you mentioned, is that related to the business case too? So, and that was my, only question there.
Sure. Okay. So we'll get to that. All right. So I think the next steps are for the use cases and for the architecture, as I present this more and I meet with the use case teams and the architecture teams more, I think we can get more detail into each of these points. Here again, these are meant to be a higher level view and a depiction of the major things that are developed. And again, I have a lot of icons because you're 25% more likely to retain information visually than just if I put it all in text. But then at some point, of course, you need text to give more details, right? So I have some details here for the modeling team, at least, because that's what I started with and have been presenting. But I think we can start putting in more detail behind the use case and the architecture flows as well. So I see Andy's on the call. Andy, do you have any comments on things I wrote here? Maybe these probably need the most work, I feel.
If you could maybe share, can you just send me the one slide and what I'll do is I'll review it.
Yeah,
normally
sure.
I can't make this call. We just had a short external API call, so
it will hop on. Yeah, yeah. So,
I guess the only thing that kind of pops out is, right. We probably need to address both data and information model together here.
Right.
Unless you did a separate slide on each, I don't know.
I didn't do a separate slide on each. I did a joint slide here for the information model and the data model, and here this slide was meant to give more details around all the things that the modeling team is doing. So I would expect that, these are all info model.
My question is,
because
we do work with both. I mean,
right.
And the APIs are ultimately related to the schema or the data model.
Right. But mostly this is the, let's see. So these are mostly the info model, because this is what this modeling subcommittee is doing. And of course, there are points that we do need to work with the data model, of course. But mostly this is the info model, right? That I'm referring to here.
Yeah, primarily that's what we do.
Yeah.
But there are cases we do some data modeling.
Right. And I think, in this stage here is where we're most likely involved with the data models.
Right, this is when we start tying the information and data models together.
Exactly, right.
Right before the M3.
Let's see. Yeah, so the discussion model and the data model is developed with input from, so reviews of the data model with the project teams and info model changes can happen. Okay, so that's right. And so the info model is launched, it's reviewed and approved, basically, reaching the clean info model. And then we work with the project teams on the data model, which is right. So we review data models with API. Okay, so that's correct.
Yeah.
And then essentially this info model is frozen. As frozen can get. We call that the clean model, the clean info model.
Right.
And when the info model is updated, I guess those are handled by tickets.
Yeah, it'd have to be probably tickets feeding back. Yeah, be best
right.
way to do it.
Right. And any updates are fed into the API model and updates to data models from the project teams and use case teams as needed. Due to updates from the info model. Okay. Yeah. So I'll upload these slides for everybody on the wiki for today's call. And let me just put that in the chat so everybody, oops, let me just save this. Otherwise, it's going to be a weird link. Okay. So on today's call here, okay. So this is today's call. Let me put it in the chat here. Okay. And all right. And I'll upload these slides on this page so everybody has them. All right. So any final last thoughts on the slides before we move on to other topics? Save. Okay. So the Shankar asked about the business drivers. Last week we reviewed, in the past, I don't know, 3 weeks, we've been reviewing business drivers. so again, the templates for the business drivers are here. You can look at some examples of where Zhu and myself and Michaela kind of updated the plug and play or the pre-onboarding and boarding page. And you can look at some examples of filled out ones. I also filled out ones with the team in the plug and play page. And many of the 5G ones you can explore have been filled out. So if you still need to fill yours out, I think Shankar and Son and PCI and Borislav still needed to fill theirs out. I haven't checked lately, but on the Thursday calls, we've been going over that. Ala also sent out an email saying that in the developers forum in Sweden, they're also going to be going over these business drivers. So there's probably a time slot to either go over these in more detail or to review some of them. and I know many of the R6 pages probably still need to maybe... each of these are supposed to have their own wiki pages too, and I would expect them to have business drivers. There's only like two or three totally brand new use cases. And if you have not a completely brand new use case, you can link through to your base page and update it that way. So you don't have to do it from release to release. Okay. I think this, R5, will be this shortened release, and various teams are analyzing what should go into that. I think Melanie brings up a good point, and I'm going to make that just a whole new topic actually, because I think this whole agile process versus a waterfall process will impact everything we do. We'll on that move to an agile. As opposed to a waterfall process. So I think only time will tell. I think the desire is to do something like that, maybe after R5. Okay. So in Dublin, I think I already had the page up. In Dublin, where are we now? We're May 29. So we're in RC2 now. Where content freeze and marketing video content and public announcements. So I've been working with the people developing the marketing release notes for the release. Some of the text that will go behind what's in, what ONAP has. So there's sort of a public announcement. I should upload that. I can up. Well, I don't know if I can share that yet officially, but anyway, I can show it to you on screen. Let me see. Oop, where's still. Okay, let me see. Do I have a 5G Okay, so I'm gonna be able to find it right away. Where did I put it at? okay, anyway, I'll show it to you next time. I'll find it. It should be in its own folder probably. Okay. But anyway, that's being planned. We're in RC2 now, which is tomorrow. All right, and I think we are running out of time. We'll just have a minute or two left, and I think we'll skip these for this week. And we have some time to discuss this. Atul had moved out his presentation to June 19th after the, Atul's on the call. So yeah, we had talked about the IoT service creation presentation to after the DF, right? And Shankar last had said there's a POC happening and there was still code that needed to be integrated. I assume this is happening.
There are two Jira items that were pushed to El Alto, and all the other stuff is integration testing is like now 83% or 88% done.
Okay.
So that code still needs to be integrated was only because there were two Jira items that were moved out of Dublin, and so we'll do it in El Alto.
Okay. All right. And also, I was on the TSC call last week. And I think they were going over all of the use cases in the release planning, and everything looked green except for the pre-onboarding onboarding, which Zoo and I have been working on. And that only had to deal with there was some old code load that they needed to update. So I got a little worried because Zoo and I were working on that, but I think there's not a blocking issue. So, okay. There's no meeting June 12. Thanks. Yeah, sorry. So June 5
will
have.
I'll update the drivers. Great. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. So June 5 we'll have a little bit more time just to kind of go over our. We haven't gone over the where we are and stuff for a little while. So I think we'll talk about that next week. We've had a number of presentations, which I think were wonderful and fantastic. And we have a little bit of time up until M1 as we go into the new release, and after the developers forum, I think we'll have some more topics that we need to address. So, okay, thank you everybody for attending. I hope you found this useful, and we'll see you next time. Have a great day. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.